I call this meeting to order. Stanislaus County Board of Supervisors, please rise for a salute to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, this is the time for our public comment period. I have two requests to speak tonight. John Mataka.
Thank you, Supervisor DeMartini and the board. My name is John Mataka. I reside at 8505 Wilson Street in Grayson, California. I'm here tonight on behalf of, as the legal redress for the NAACP of Stanislaus County. I'm here to, in a public comment, to address the issues that this board needs to be made aware of. On Tuesday, July the 1st, 2008, after a city council meeting here in these very same chambers, in regards to some harassment by the Modesto Police Department of a local motorcycle club called the Most Envy, basically two members of the Most Envy Motorcycle Club and other people leaving the meeting that night were pulled over and harassed. George Garcia, one of the individuals I'm talking about tonight, was told to get off his motorcycle, threatened and slammed face down twice on a law enforcement vehicle. He was then handcuffed and then released. This was by the sheriff's office and part of the sting unit. Robert Puckett, who was using a video camera to film the sheriff's office and the MPD pulling over other bikers who had come in support, was surrounded by sting officers, and they proceeded to film him. He turned off his video camera and then went to his motorcycle to leave. He was then struck in the upper right-hand shoulder, causing him to stumble. As he got on his motorcycle, he was pulled over by another sting officer for reasons unknown. The officer told him he was being detained, and he had to ask the other officers why he was being detained. He was then told he was being arrested for charges of assault with a deadly weapon because an officer claimed that he had been intentionally struck by his motorcycle. At that time, he was arrested, his motorcycle was towed, his cell phone was taken, the video camera was taken, the videotape was taken, and the memory chip from the camera were all taken. As of this date, they have not been returned. He is still in court over this particular issue. I want to read a letter explaining very briefly, and I'll end, the reason why I'm here tonight. This letter is addressed to Sheriff Adam Christensen from myself. It says, this letter is in response to your letters dated September the 17th, 2008, concerning citizens' complaints filed by Mr. David Puckett and Mr. George Garcia. In both letters to Mr. Puckett and Mr. Garcia, you informed them that their complaints had been closed due to their, quote, failure to respond and their, quote, unwillingness to cooperate with Sergeant Walker's investigation. This is incorrect and not true. Both Mr. Puckett and Mr. Garcia spoke with Sergeant Walker on several occasions via telephone and were more than willing to cooperate with the investigation. Both simply requested to have a personal representative present. An interview with law enforcement can be intimidating, particularly for a person who is charged with a crime or believes he has been a victim of police misconduct by a colleague of the interviewer. Complainants may also be worried that left alone with a deputy sheriff, they may say something that will incriminate them in a pending case. Under these circumstances, it is unreasonable to refuse to allow a complainant to have a, quote, representative to provide support. I spoke with Sergeant Walker on two occasions via telephone myself and made him aware that both Mr. Puckett and Mr. Garcia were willing to meet, but that they wanted a representative present during the interview. I made Mr. Walker aware that the representative would not interfere with the interview process and would be there to observe only. I also made him aware that I had been a representative in several complaints with the Modesto Police Department and that they were fine with this occurring and there hasn't been a problem. Sergeant Walker stated that this was, quote, not standard operational procedure to allow a third party in the room at the time a complaint is being investigated. I asked him if this was a written policy and he stated no, that this was just procedure the Sheriff's Department follows internally. Sergeant Walker then stated that he had only a limited time frame to conduct the investigation, and if we were not willing to meet without a representative present in the interview, that he would conduct the investigation, quote, off the complaint form only. I made Sergeant Walker aware that this would not be appropriate to conduct an interview without the complainant's presence. We continue to be willing to resolve this issue, and we will refile the complaints again. This issue is not going away. This issue brings to light the need to look at all policies and procedures regarding the public's right to a fair and a just complaint process. Thank you for your time and attention in this matter. I've in the packet enclosed, I have the complaint forms. I have several other documents that I'm requesting that the board review. And I'm also requesting that the board encourage Sheriff Christensen to allow Mr. Puckett and Mr. Garcia to have a representative present when those complaints are investigated. And my last question is I'm really puzzled and concerned as a community member and as legal redress for the Stanislaus County NAACP as to why any law enforcement officer would want to deny someone the right to have somebody present as long as they don't interfere with the process. It makes you wonder, is there something that is trying to be hidden? It really opens up for a lot of other questions that we probably don't want to think about. So at this time, that's all I have to say, and I really request that you review this and encourage Mr. Christensen to allow that representative to be present. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. McTacker.
I have the clerk. And the forms and the packages for each of you to review. Thank you.
I notice our light for on the air is not on. If the light's just not working. Okay, now it's on. Okay. Paul Brim. Not sure if I named pronounce your name right. You state the city that you're from too for the record.
First of all, I'd like to thank the chairman and the board of supervisors to give us a few minutes of time. My name is Paul Brim. I'm with Solutions Teen Outreach Program, and we call ourselves STOP. And we are a new teen outreach program. A little background, a group of professionals that work in education, in substance abuse counseling and social work, got together over coffee a few months back, and we saw a need for outreach program, outpatient program for our teenagers, ages 12 to 18 years old. That coffee session turned into opening up a business in nonprofit in May. About 2 weeks into our writing the program and writing our mission and doing the things we need to get this thing running, we were informed that the TRC program in Modesto shut down. Was the only teen is a residential program as well as an outreach program, and they shut their doors down. We were in emergency status with the IRS to get our 501c3. We got our 501c3 the 1st of June. So we have our 501c3 status at this point in time. Just a little bit about our program. Solutions Teen Outreach Program is designed to develop and enhance healthy lifestyles and opportunities for youth who suffer directly or indirectly from emotional and psychiatric illness, chemical and alcohol addiction, and to support and provide education to the community through conducting seminars, outreach, education, and collaboration with other teen groups, conducting seminars throughout the community. We also intend to have the teens are going to publish a review letter that will be written and distributed by them and involving community service in our area, in the area here. The program will provide day treatment, half-day treatment, intensive outpatient, individual counseling, family counseling, and group counseling. These are all free to the clients. We focus on substance abuse, dual diagnosis treatment, mental health disorders, teen violence, teen relationships, teen trauma, and healing. We've added an extra step. Most programs, you do outreach and treatment. We've added an activities program, and every weekend is a six-month program. The students, the clients in the program, and again, this is free of charge to them. We're going to provide healthy lifestyle choices such as cultural events, sporting events, outings, fishing, camping possibly, supervised completely and then done with volunteer staff, as well as a mentoring program to help these teenagers, to help start them to get some healthy lifestyle choices. We believe that it starts with bad choices, and if we can help them with some healthy lifestyle choices, perhaps we can add a little bit of longevity to the recovery program. That's all I've got. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thank you very much.
There's information in the packets there for you about the program and brochures. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody else in the audience who would like to speak to the board about an item that is not on the agenda? Okay, seeing none, we'll go to the consent calendar. Does any member of this board wish to pull an item from the consent agenda? Okay. I'm going to pull B13 just for comment, certainly not because I have a problem with it at all, but I do want to make a comment about it.
I move approval of the balance with the exception of B13. Second.
And motion's been made by Supervisor Grover, seconded by Supervisor Monteith. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All any opposed? Same motion's carried 4-0. So on the B13, I'm not asking for staff report. I just noticed our chief probation officer is here. And I'm very glad to see that the probation department has reached a labor agreement so they can get its canine for its searches for drugs in the houses that they have to search. I've been out with this probation department a number of times, and I know this dog is going to be a valuable asset to the probation department. It's been a long time in coming. This Mr. Powers, what kind of timeline are we looking at before we can get the dog actually operating on the searches?
Good question. It depends on how quickly we can find the training curriculum. The dog and the handler have to go through a 5-week certification course. So as soon as we can find a certified training course, as soon as we get the dog, get the course, we'll put the handler and the dog into the course. 5 to 7 weeks after they do the course, they should be out in the community working with the probation officers to do that. We've done some initial checking to see where we can find the courses. We've already located one that is in January. We're hoping to find one in November, December, but we know, worst case, we've got a slot in January. So I would hope by worst case spring, we will have this the dog on board and working with the handler.
I'm looking forward to see that dog. And when you get it working, I'll go out with you.
I think certainly.
So we've already appropriated the money for the dog and the modifications to the vehicle.
Vehicle's there. It's ready to roll. The money is encumbered in our budget to purchase the dog and pay for the training, as a matter of fact. So it's just a matter of getting the dog and getting the training.
Okay, great. Well, that's good news. I'm glad to see that happen.
Thank you.
Any comments from the board?
If you pull it, you got to make the motion.
Okay. I make the motion that we approve item B13.
Second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded by Supervisor Grover. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried 4-0. Okay, item B15. I have a staff report, please.
Good evening, Vice Chairman DeMartini, members of the board, CEO Robinson, County Council Doring. Hi. The item before you this evening is, let me just take a moment and introduce our project team. Next to me, we have Charles Vasquez. He's from Public Works, and he is the engineer and project manager for this proposed Turn Point project. And then I also have my deputy director here, Margarita Ramos. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to meet her yet, but she's been on board now with us for about almost 10 months. And this is our proposed project for Heron Point. Next slide. This project is supports the well-planned infrastructure, effective partnerships, as well as a safe community. currently Heron Point, if you take a look at this picture here, is pretty much a barren point. It currently, its use is for undeveloped camping. As you see, we have porta potties and dumpsters there, but no infrastructure to support the use at this location. This is just another view. You can kind of see the picnic tables and a few of the parking bumpers that we have that kind of designate each of the camping or so-called undeveloped camping areas at this location. These signs that you see here are, because Woodward Reservoir is a drinking water reservoir, we're not allowed to have camping within the high water mark area, and these within 50 feet of the high water mark area, and these signs designate that area, and they're posted all along the boundary of Woodward Reservoir. Our conceptual plan for Heron Point is actually not for camping. It's a use is being proposed for day use. What we're proposing is that we develop this area that will allow for parking. I'm sorry. No, that's good. This project is a $1.8 million project, of which the state is providing through grant funding approximately $1.5 million. What we're asking for tonight is for the Phase 2 funding, which is $1.3 million. We're also proposing as our match the $366,000 from our parks facility fees. This project's going to include the demolition. Currently, there's a one-lane boat ramp at Heron Point, and this project's going to include the demolition of this one-lane boat ramp and the construction of a two-lane boat ramp, as well as the installation of a floating deck dock that will be adjacent to the boat ramp, and also we have some erosion issues on the point because it's on the windward side, and so this will also include some mitigation for the erosion that's occurring on Heron Point. The construction will include a 60,000 square foot parking area, which will allow for 40 vehicles and trailers for the boat launch area. We're also proposing a new restroom and a fish cleaning station. This will include the installations of lights, draining, landscaping, and also interpretive kiosks and directional signs. And what we're hoping is to have a fully developed day use area, and this particular location will bring day use to another side of the reservoir. Currently, all of our day use is located on the northwesterly side of the reservoir, and this day use area will be on the south side of the reservoir in an attempt to kind of help spread out some of our day use. At this time, we're requesting for you to adopt our four recommendations, and if you have any questions, I or my team would be happy to answer them.
Any questions of staff? Okay, seeing none, is there any member of the audience who would like to address the board on this item? Seeing none, bring it back to the board for direction.
Mr. Chairman, being in my district, Woodward gets a lot of use, and this will make a great addition to that. So thank you very much for staff for bringing this forward. I'll make the motion to adopt the resolution.
I'll second.
Okay, motion's made by Supervisor O'Brien, seconded by Supervisor Monteith. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carried 4-0.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we have no scheduled matters tonight. Correspondence?
This board has received a copy of the Fire Life Safety Inspection Report for the Stanislaus County Jail located at 805 12th Street, Modesto, California, from the City of Modesto Fire Department.
Refer to the Department of Environmental Resources.
This board has received a letter from the Clerk Recorder and Register of Voters requesting that the Board of Supervisors designate a member of the board to participate in the election observer panel for Tuesday, November 4th, 2008 election.
Okay. If there's no member of the board that's dying to do this, I will just appoint myself.
We'll let you.
I'm down there anyway. I'll be watching for ballot box stuffing. Okay, I'll appoint myself to this.
Okay. And this board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
They acknowledge receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office Risk Management Division. Are there any Board of Supervisors reports?
I'd like to make one. Several members of staff, including Stan Risen and Matt Machado and Kirk Ford, myself, two members of the Public Works from the City of Modesto, and a member from the Del Puerto Water District, visited the Monterey Regional Water Project yesterday. Interesting project from the standpoint of they provide water for 12,000 acres that had been taken out of production because of saline. And it could have huge ramifications for the west side, where the Del Puerto Water District, I think, currently is it 40% of their water that they're not getting this year?
Maybe. Oh, it's more than that. It's close to 60.
Okay. So it could be a solution that is already the precedent has been set, and the science is there to support it. And I think our Ag Advisory Committee has been considering some of the same issues. So
that's right. The Ag Advisory Board has taken this up under the request from our Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Robinson, and the lead person on that is the UC Extension Department Head, Ed Perry. And the BLAB board will come up with a recommendation. You're in.
Mm-hmm. Good.
So I know that there are members of that board that have visited that also.
Mm-hmm.
I think our question was whether this water was suitable to sprinkler irrigate leafy vegetables. And preliminary results that we have looked at shows that for furrow irrigation, tree crops, it doesn't look like to be a problem. And that's the only thing we haven't reached a conclusion on. Anyone else?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just want to do a quick shout out to my son Alex, whose birthday is tonight. So, Alex, light the candles. I'm on the way.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Legislative and fiscal management report. Rick.
Well, since Supervisor O'Brien is on the way, I don't want to get in the way of Alex, so I will pass this evening.
Okay. Seeing no further business, this meeting is adjourned.